study to God's Word, for us to excuse ourselves on that basis is rather unfortunate. Maybe we don't want to testify because we don't want to be embarrassed. Maybe we're not sure of what our testimony would be. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Can you do that? Do you understand that each one of those blessings can be a testimony? God has always urged His people to testify. I don't know why we find that something that is not a part of our daily activity. In 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse 8, the writer says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, and make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works." This is a major method God calls us individually to share the gospel with the world around us. David says in Psalms 9 and verse 11, "Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell the people of His deeds." In the New Testament, Jesus calls His disciples, that's you and me, to testify. John 15 verse 27, "And you will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Testimony, witnessing, is a major tool of preaching the gospel. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Do not be ashamed. You said, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord." I think it's important for us to understand that God has expected us and wants us to be people who testify. And you say, "Well, I don't know. I don't know how to do that." Well, let me give you some suggestions. First of all, we need to be like the biblical examples of testimony. One of my favorite examples of that is a man in Mark 5, beginning with verse 1 and through verse 13. This was a man who, in my opinion, had mental illness. Now, you may think it was something more than that, but that's sort of irrelevant to my discussion here. This guy lived in the cemetery. That's pretty far out. He was dangerous. People were afraid of him. They tried to chain him, and he broke the chains. He frequently would cut himself. He was very seriously deranged. A demon of whatever sort you think it was had possessed him. And Jesus came and got rid of the illness, the demons. And when that happened in verses 14 through 16 of Mark 5, the herdsmen fled and told the city what had happened. And people came to see what had happened. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened. In the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. Have you ever had anything happen to you that has made you better? Have you ever gotten well? You know, any doctor worth his salt will tell you that he doesn't present the cure. He just enables the body to do what the body is programmed to do. And in this particular case, what happens is that the crowd is attracted. And the man who has had this illness cured, this demon possession taken care of, wants to do what I would probably want to do. Get out of there. Starting in verse 18, the Bible says, "As he was getting into the boat," that's Jesus, "the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him." Well, this guy's had a problem. He's had an illness. He's been dangerous. People are afraid of him. And so the natural impulse is to leave. But look what happens here. Jesus says to him, "Go to your home. Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and has had mercy on you. And what does this guy do? He doesn't hold up. Listen to what he does. And he, the man who had been cured, went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis. The Decapolis was 10 cities. You know, it was like Niles, Elkhart, Goshen, South Bend, Buchanan, that whole area. He goes to every single city and told how much Jesus had done for him. And everybody marveled. Everybody marveled. You've had a solution in your life. Your marriage has gotten better. Your kids have improved. You've gotten over a problem. You've straightened out a business problem. God has blessed you with an answer. Let people know. Let people know. That's testify. God brings solutions into our lives. There are things we overcome that we could not do on our own. Let people know. You know, testifying is the same thing as confessing. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting that the word literally means to bear witness. To testify is to bear witness. In Luke 12, in verse 8, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Let me ask you something. When something happens in your life that's unusually good, what do you attribute it to? You say, boy, did I luck out? Did I luck out, really? The solution that you have, where you're living now, the health that you have, you really think that's a product of luck? As Christians, God calls us to let people know where the solutions came from. And so in Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with him, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I can't read your heart. I can't hear your heart. I can't hear your brain. If something good has happened to your life, I want you to tell me about it. That's going to encourage me. When I look at like Jerry here, and the fact that he's living with the Salmons, why does that happen? Because Bill and Maylene are people who have opened up their heart to people because they are Christians. They've made sacrifices. They've allowed good things to happen. But I look almost every week, something happens at the campground where Bill and Patty have to make a reflection of their convictions about Christ and about God. We need to hear more of those stories because that's confession. And confession that Jesus is Christ is something that needs to come from our mouths. It is something we must do. Believing is not enough. Feeling in your heart is not enough. With the mouth, one confesses and is saved. That's God speaking. I'd also like to suggest to you that testimony works in every culture. It works with every ethnic group. Kind of interesting, we live in a world right now where, and we live in a country especially, where everybody's worried about offending somebody else. I was talking in Bible class this morning. There's an article in This Week magazine about the University of California. They just came out with an edict that nobody can speak on the campus that says anything that might offend somebody. Well, the very fact that I left atheism offends atheists. The very fact that I try to use my resources in a way to help others offends people who are interested in naturalism. And the classic example of this in the Bible is the Samaritan woman. This woman had two problems. Number one, she was a woman. Women's rights are as old as humanity. And the fact that this was a woman was totally abhorrent to a Jewish man. When a Jewish man walked down the street, any woman that was traveling with him was supposed to stay 15 feet behind him. Women were second class. In addition to that, this woman was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was somebody who had rejected the Judaistic traditions of the day. So she was hated. Verse 9 tells us that. And verse 27 talks about how Jews hated Samaritans. But as you read verses 28 through 30, this woman testifies, and people come to see what is taking place. And verse 39 tells us, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. You know, I can't talk to people in different cultures unless I have some understanding of what they're going through. It's been interesting, as most of you know, we've been had the joy of having Mok living with us, coming from Thailand, and to understanding her culture. And she has values that are very different to me, and they're beautiful. Matter of fact, I've been enjoying one of them. She planted radishes because in their culture, if you have something planted and it's growing, that's all they need. She doesn't eat radishes. I love radishes. What a blessing. What a blessing. But it's important to understand that crossing the lines of culture happen when we testify. Every culture on the earth is struggling with violence. Every culture on the earth is struggling with divorce. Every culture on the earth is struggling with the death of a loved one. And you've all had those things. You can testify when you have been there. I'm having a discussion right now with a young woman who has been raped. She says, you don't understand. And I wrote back and I said, you're absolutely right. I don't understand. But I have a friend who is a Christian who was raped repeatedly, and she understands. And I sent her her name and address. I got a phone call about 2 days ago from this young lady saying, you know, I've had all kinds of ministers, I've had all kinds of counselors talk to me, but this is the first time someone has talked to me who understands and who has offered me a solution to the problems that have come because of what has happened to me. That's testimony. That's testimony. It crosses all lines. And at the end of the story of the Samaritan woman, verse 42, the people in the town come to the woman and they say, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. See, the woman opened the door. Her testimony made them willing to look and to listen and to think. And so here was a situation where hatred and prejudice blocked testimony. But experience crossed the line and opened the door and brought salvation to many, many people. This woman could reach her peers. And so can we. And so can we. Look how diverse we are, brothers and sisters. Look at us. We have different ages. We have different cultures. We have different levels of education. We have different situations in which we come. Look how many doors each one of us can open. I can talk to a college student. I can talk to a teacher. I can talk to high school kids. But I can't talk to a policeman. I don't know all that he faces. I can't talk to someone who's been divorced. I don't understand that. I can't talk to people who are chronically ill. That has not been a part of my life's history. I can't talk to people who are battling senility. I can't talk to a teenage girl about the struggles that she is facing as she is treated badly in our culture. I can't talk to a lot of folks. But I can talk to someone who's lost their wife. I can talk to someone who is attempting suicide. Richard made a comment earlier that last night I got a call from my brother who is dying of Parkinson's. He said, I just wanted to say goodbye. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I've got a plastic bag. I'm about to put it over my head. Nobody will know. What do you say? In this situation, what I was able to do was to say to him, well, let me let you talk to someone who is going to make a difference, who has been down this road. And I'm going to have you talk to someone in 20 minutes that will make a difference. And who did I call? His daughter, who has been through the suicide issue. You know, I can intellectually understand why he wants to take his life. I mean, here's a guy that's been active all his life. He was a major in the Air Force. He was a person who was an athlete. He was the in-charge guy. He was in such a different realm than I was, and now all of a sudden he can't take care of himself. He can't get out of the wheelchair. He's got a bag attached to his leg so he can urinate. But his daughter has been down that road. She is a nurse. She understands, because she has worked with people who are near the end of life, what it's about. And to be honest with you, I really don't know what happened last night because I can't call the nursing home, and I haven't heard from his daughter. So I assume when she talked to him, she was able to get him to realize he had to think beyond his own selfish desires. See, that's testimony. That's testimony. Testimony works in every culture and in every situation. Do not be afraid to testify. It's not an option. It's a mandate. Remember what happened in Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 18. Peter and John were told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And their response was, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Nobody can stop you from saying what you have seen in your life. The fact that you're able to walk into this building this morning breathing, the fact that you're able to go back here and eat, the fact that you have the capacity to understand what I'm saying is a great blessing. And nobody can silence you. Not at school, not at work. But we have to be kind. We have to be people who love and care about others. But we cannot let our testimony be stifled. When Paul is brought to trial in Acts 26, beginning at verse 12, he's going to talk to Agrippa. And in verse 28, Agrippa says, you really think you can persuade me to become a Christian? You know what the problem was? The verse says, in such a short time, to become a Christian. The problem is that Agrippa is a ruler. He's a Roman ruler. And Paul is a simple Jew who is being brought before his court. And Paul can't relate to him in a direct way. He can't use the testimony. But what Paul can do is that he can show his capacity when people that are like him are listening to him. Listen to Acts 22. This is an interesting passage because Paul is being brought before a group of people who are very antagonistic to him in Jerusalem. And the Bible says, when they heard him speak in Aramaic, let me go back a verse. In Aramaic, he said, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. In Aramaic, he speaks their language. In 3 weeks, I'm leaving for Colombia. I'm speaking publicly, and I'll have a translator. You know what my biggest problem is? I don't speak their language. And when I talked to the people running the campaign, I said, they're not going to listen to me. I'm an American. I don't speak English. I don't speak Spanish. I speak only English. And they said, no, but they will listen to the translator. Because when it's in their own language, they will hear something they've not heard before. Paul spoke in Aramaic. And the Bible says when they heard him speaking in Arabic, they became very quiet. And then listen to his defense. What does he do here? He testifies. Listen to the testimony. Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, of Cilicia, brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the laws of our fathers, and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. What's he doing? He's telling them that he has common ground with them. He's testifying of his own background. The very fact that you speak with the dialect you do opens doors. The very fact that you're able to communicate with people at work, with which you share a common bond, opens doors, gives you the capacity to testify. I persecuted the followers of the way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. See, he's talking about his previous life. And all of the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. Most of you know that I have a ministry called Does God Exist? I came to believe in God because of my studies in science. There's a lot of people out there talking about faith. There's a lot of apologists out there, some of them much better educated than I am. So what is the reason I have been doing this for, it will be 50 years this next year? Why would anybody listen to me? Because I was an atheist for almost 20 years. Because my background gives me the capacity to testify. To testify from what happened to me. To testify what led me to become a Christian. So people that are willing to look at science and willing to look at the evidence will listen to me because they know where I'm coming from. Now, I can't talk to a guy about mechanics. Bill does that. I can't talk to a guy about construction. Richard does that. I can't talk about heavy equipment. Shane does that. I can't talk about military experience. Dave does that. I mean, I can go around this room and every single person here has something that gives them the capacity to testify. And my encouragement to you is do it. Understand that testifying is part of God's plan to reach out and save the world, and we can all do that. We don't have to speak publicly. We just have to share life's experiences. And so my testimony is that God is real. My testimony is that the Christian system works. We talked in class this morning about the purpose of our existence. Why do we exist? Atheists cannot answer that question. Really, no religion on earth can answer that question except Jesus Christ, who says you're in a battle. You have a purpose. God has a reason for you. You can read the book of Job. You can see some of that reason. You can look at passages as we are doing right now in our Wednesday night class in Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 6 and seeing how that applies to us. And your testimony can be, yes, God, I know you have brought change in my life. But the one thing you need to do to be a part of that is to be a Christian, to identify yourself. Don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Don't be ashamed. Be willing to testify, not only to your faith in God, but in how God has brought good things into your life and how being a Christian gives you the capacity to deal with the hardships in life. Life is tough. Life is hard. But you don't have to do it on your own. And Christianity brings you with people who share your common background and who want to help you as you reach out and testify to a lost and dying world. So don't be ashamed to own your Lord. Accept his salvation. Come as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Become a Christian as together we stand and sing.